back to another episode of The Serial Killer. I'm your host, Jeremy Skaggs, and Happy New Year. I know it's been a long time, and, well, we're back. A lot of audio issues. I know I was talking about getting my radio show back and going. That's still underway, just trying to figure out my computer. I am not a computer savvy person, so I am trying. Today we are talking about James Ray Cable, born in 1948 in LaGrange, Kentucky. He has victims 4 to 6 plus span of crime, 1977 to 1990 in Kentucky. Little is known about Cable's childhood. Born in LaGrange, Kentucky in 48, he was first arrested in 71 on accusations of raping a 7-year-old girl in Owensboro. Later that year, a jury convicted him and sentenced him to life imprisonment. Just under a year later, June 11th, 72, Cable escaped from the Kentucky State Reformatory, but was later caught the same day, leading to Cable receiving an escape conviction. Let's see here. In April 77, 35-year-old Willie S. Daniel, who was serving a life sentence for manslaughter and 2 counts of robbery, was attacked by Cable in the prison's gym. Cable proceeded to strike Daniels with a steel rod across his head. Daniels was rushed to the prison hospital where he died as a result of his injuries. Cable was convicted of first-degree manslaughter the following year and sentenced to serve 10 more years of his initial sentence. Release and kidnapping conviction. 3 years later, Cable was paroled in 83. Cable was returned to prison for violating his parole. He was once again released in early 86. In 88, he was again returned to prison for harassment related to a court order which issued him to stay away from his estranged wife. On April 5th, 1990, Cable, along with accomplice Philip Clopton, kidnapped a 15-year-old Louisville girl. They drove her to a campsite deep in the woods where they both raped her before tying her to a tree. Cable briefly left the area to meet with his parole officer while Clopton stayed. Over the next 3 weeks, both would continuously rape, whip, and assault the girl. On April 26, Clopton was alone with the girl but forgot to chain her up, leading to her stealing his gun, shooting and killing him, and running away. Good for her. She escaped the woods and alerted authorities, leading to Cable's arrest. The girl told authorities that Cable and Clopton confessed to her that they had killed teen Sherry Wilson and Bridget Allen, both 14, who had been missing since January 25th. After Clopton's death, his diary was searched and it contained evidence that Cable had confessed to him that he killed Helen Booth, 24, in 89. It also linked Cable to a severed arm that has been found that March. At the time, Cable could not be conclusively linked to the murder, and on the kidnapping and rape charge, he was convicted and sentenced to 300 years in prison. Implication in other murders. December 2003, DNA tests were carried out to attempt to link Cable to other unsolved crimes. When the tests were complete the following year, Cable was linked to the subsequently charged with 3 murders from the 80s. The first of these to occur was Sandra Kellums, 18, on June 8th in 1982. Sandra Kellums was celebrating her 18th birthday. That day, she decided to go to a friend's house in Owensboro. Kellums never arrived, and the next day her body was found under several trees and bushes. She had been sexually assaulted and killed by blows to the head with a brick. Her purse was not found in her possession at the crime scene. Police made plaster casts of footprints found in the area. The second of these was Oma Marie Bird, 26, on December 11, 1986. A body of 26-year-old Oma Marie Bird was found in an alleyway by 2 children walking to school. The final of these was the murder of Helen Booth, 24, which Cable was originally considered a suspect in on May 11th, 89. The body of 24-year-old Helen Booth, who was pregnant, was found in Riverside Park. She had been raped, gagged, and bludgeoned to death. The Kellams murder has been reopened in 2001, as well as the Byrd case. Investigators in both cases began taking notes, and due to Cable being in and out of prison coincidentally during the time the murders were committed, investigators began talking to him. That led to his DNA being taken and it began and being matched. Following the breakthrough, prosecutors sought the death penalty if Cable were to be convicted. Cable was found competent to stand trial. However, in 2011, questions were raised about Cable's receiving a death sentence due to him having an IQ of 70. Before he could go to trial on December 3rd, 2013, Cable died in prison. He never confessed to the murders, despite DNA proving that he was responsible beyond a reasonable doubt. All right, everybody, that is a short one. I'm probably going to do a few more. That was James Ray Cable, and we'll get this one up shortly and work on a few others to come out in the following weeks. All right, everybody, thank you so much. I'm your host, Jeremy Skaggs, and we will see you shortly.